Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Friday, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'll tell you right now, each one of the imports, domestics, and microbrews, perfect carbonation, no deflation at all.
But you might have to ask people to, you know, if there is a deflation, and then wait for their answer, and then question the answer. That's what we're doing right now. Did you notice that? Now it's, Do you believe him?
Well, I have a different thought process on this. And I'll first tell you that not only they have the best in imports, domestics, and microbrews, soft drinks, snacks, they roast their peanuts fresh, hot, every day. And, of course, the pickle bar is second to none. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kierwoods, 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. We bring in Sir Kevin of Her.
How are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm okay.
It is a pure guess on my part.
Okay.
But here's my speculation, and I don't normally deal in speculation.
I was going to say, this is a first for you.
I'm telling you right now that in my personal opinion, until proven otherwise, that the officials did not inspect the balls before the game. Oh, they inspected them. Oh, yeah, it's a football.
Okay, they glanced over them.
Well, no, but I mean, they picked them up. Well, okay, fine, good. Okay? Something tells me that at halftime, when they use the gauge, it's the first gauge that has been used in any NFL stadium this year.
Now, what made them use the gauge at that particular moment, if it is indeed the first? Is that something that's supposed to be done every time at halftime?
No, it's supposed to check him before the game.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Why then at halftime?
My point is because it was brought to their attention by the Colts.
Okay, that's what I was leading toward, but I wanted to see if that was correct.
And my gut is telling me that they inspected the footballs before the game, and they do it before every game, except it's like, oh yeah, okay, good. Yeah, okay, good. And they don't use the gauge. I mean, do you think they sit there and use the gauge on 24 footballs? Really?
I would have been surprised.
I know I'd be shocked. Now, you know darn well, oh, no. We checked and we covered and whatever. And so people may be wondering, how often did they get away with something like this all season? Because they know darn well they aren't checking it.
It hasn't been an issue.
Hasn't been, and the other part too is why hasn't anybody else stepped up? You know, it wasn't as if Brady had a clean season, for example. I mean, he threw an interception in what of the 18 games they've played so far. I'll bet he threw an interception at least 13 or 14 of the games.
And in colder weather than 51 degrees.
No, but I'm just saying, even early in the season, late in the season, whatever. Why hasn't it come up until now?
I mean, you could make the argument you could make the argument that in colder weather that the ball will deflate, but when it's 60,
yeah, we Yeah, but it'll deflate anyway. It's still going to. I mean, it dropped down into the 40s at one point. It was not. They weren't playing in Miami. But still, the part that's going to be, if the investigation's done right, I would venture to say that I'm telling you, the officials are. Oh no. And I always love this when they throw out numbers. We've talked to 40 people so far. We talked to 5,712 people. I don't really care. Talk to the 8 you need to. We're done. Okay? Don't waste my time. We talked to 5,000 people.
We've talked with the eight
you have to. The Richie Incognito Martin thing last year. We talked to 120 people. All right. Okay. Really. 1, 2, Philbin, position coach, and other members of the offensive line. We're at a dozen. We're done.
We've gone as far as talking to the second cousin of the wife of the.
Don't need to talk to the secondary guys. Okay, they're not in the same meeting room.
Oh, my favorite is what you talked about yesterday. The reporter that asked a Patriots defensive player his thoughts on the situation.
Vince, what do you think? He goes, like, what the? I mean, if he recovers the ball. Now, it's interesting. There is an article that's been put out that it was Peyton Manning and Tom Brady that went to the NFL Competition Committee in 2006 and requested a change in allowing visiting teams to bring their own footballs, which they eventually adopted. Home team provided footballs up until the 2006 season.
This is the National Football League. Why isn't the league providing it and avoiding this whole problem?
Well, yeah. But here, this is a sports talk show. So this is different. We'll talk about it. But think of everything at this moment. Yemen just had its government overthrown. Saudi Arabia's king, who had been king for decades, passed away in a volatile part of the world. And Israel claims that Iran has a missile silo. And what's the lead story? What's the lead story? The other three, by the way, affect our safety here in this part of the world. What's the lead story? The integrity of the game is important. I don't want the crossbar at Gillette Stadium to be 8 feet 5 inches when the Patriots are kicking and the goalpost being 25 yards wide when they kick and having it be 18, 6, and 10 feet high when the opposition kicks. I mean, we don't want that. But in this process, how did the football suddenly go from the room to suddenly being like that in the first half of the game? I go back to the fact that despite what they say, they would have to convince me otherwise. Bibles would be good to have their hands on them. That the officials did do an inspection, but not the full inspection by using a gauge before the game. They allowed them to play the game with it. There's no evidence to point that out, but I've been thinking about this, right? And there are cameras everywhere. Cameras, and now you have to bring the footballs out to warm up with them, but there are cameras everywhere. And even then, when they started the second half, when they allegedly blew the footballs up to 13 IPS, they still threw one out of the game, didn't they? I find that part interesting, too. I mean, after they allegedly inflated the footballs back to regulation, they still had to throw one out of the game. Well, you didn't inflate them all? What? Hmm. This whole thing is weird.
It doesn't get any unweird.
The whole thing is weird. It's going to be all next week. I mean, and the Seahawks are sitting back going, hey, it's all cool, man. We're just out here getting ready.
Nobody's asking about any corner's arm.
Marshawn Lynch, should he be required to talk to the media? The NFL says they're going to increase the fines if he doesn't.
The way I understand it, Steve, and you were at Media Day last year, there is a rule that says you are to be available to the media upon request. Is that wrong?
Yep. Well, this Media Day, everyone's required.
Right. Right. And it's required.
Everyone.
Right. And it's required.
Everyone. The entire roster, including those who are going to be healthy scratches for the game, are required. For example, Jordan Hill was a healthy scratch for last year's game, but he was in the bullpen, and I did and interviewed him, which obviously we had him on the show last year.
Okay. So now you know darn well that you're going to have to do this if you get into the Super Bowl when you sign your name on a piece of paper to work for this football team in the National Football League. I don't see it being a problem. If the NFL feels that it's this important, yes, he should be. That's part of your contract.
I agree with you. Yet, for the media, it'll be a total waste of time.
Oh, by far. The question is, they don't state that he has to answer the question correctly. He just has to show up.
Right. Last year, he was about, I'd say 30 feet from me. Because I was talking with, at this point, people had kind of broken up a little bit. So I had a chance to talk. Because, you know, Michael Robinson had, you know, not only quarterbacked here, thus I knew Mike really well in that regard. Plus, Michael took my class. And so I had a chance just to catch up with Mike a little bit. And when I was talking with him, Lynch came out. It was about 30 feet from where Mike's cubicle was. Because Mike had one of the cubicles. He was not in the bullpen. And Lynch came out and got himself about 3 or 4 feet onto the main floor, which means he has now avoided a $50,000 fine just by standing there. And I'm not going to bother and go over and talk to him. I mean, what's the use of that? Especially with people. And again, he was not in an area. For example, with Michael Robinson, I could plug into a malt box to get answers. So it made it very easy to do. Jordan Hill, I had to interview with a microphone because the bullpen areas don't have malt boxes, so you have to do that on an individual basis. Well, Lynch came out. You're not going to run into a crowd like that to get him to say, I just want to be a good teammate. I just want to be a good teammate. I just want to be a good teammate. Because no matter what you ask him, how tall are you? I just want to be a good teammate. So it'll turn into an absurd exercise to avoid a $50,000 fine. How you solve that? It's his right in free speech to answer the question any way he wishes. And look, I have no idea if he's married, girlfriend, whatever. But I'd hate to go home if I were him and say, yeah, I just blew off another 50K. I mean, really?
Win the Super Bowl. Still net more money.
With Snow Goes In to your neighborhood. Who are you going to call?
Snowbusters!
And we've got the Snowbusters right here at Sunbury Motors Kia. I want to see you in a Kia.
Sunbury Motors Kia.
Make tracks in an all-wheel drive 2015 Sportage LX starting at $22,399. And we have a great inventory to choose from. Or how about our blizzard-busting 2015 all-wheel drive Sereno starting at $24,983 with 0% APR financing for up to 60 months. And we've got 27 to choose from. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty.
Come see the Snowbusters
at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf
or at sunburymotors.com.
SMC.
selling more cars, satisfying more customers for 100 years.
Tax and tax extra. All applicable Kia customer rebates apply. CAMF bonus cash and financing to well-qualified customers.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, stock up for the weekend. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Snacks, soft drinks, pickle bar is unbelievable. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin had to turn his car in today. Are you okay? Did you quit?
Not yet.
I was mentioning you turned your car in today.
Oh, yes, I did. Sorry, I was I'm a busy guy. There's lots of stuff going on. There's phones ringing. You know, you got a busy day. This is a high pressure show.
You were in the bathroom, weren't you?
No.
All right.
Yes, I did have to turn in the Kia Forte Coupe Turbo today, but you get a chance to drive it now and find out all the neat little features it has, including the great little lack of turbo lag. That's what I found out. That's the best way I could put it, because you ever notice when a turbo vehicle sometimes has a little bit of lag before it kicks in? This one doesn't. And you don't have to spend extra money on premium gas either, because you can just use regular unleaded and you don't need to use the premium fuel. And right now, 0% financing for up to 60 months. You can enjoy the backup camera, the great little sound system in the thing, and of course, all the Bluetooth capabilities as well with the 2014 Kia Forte Turbo Coupe from Sunbury Motors and the Sunbury Motors Kia dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Glad we're able to wake you. All right.
Been a rough week, man.
I know it has been for you. Very rough week for you. I know it has. Nope. I know. All kidding aside, it's been a very rough week for you.
Hey, listen, Dave Ritchie was on standby last night in the fourth quarter. I said, Dave, I think the voice is starting to fade a little bit. Get ready.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, why don't you kick back a little bit? We're going to talk a little Steeler football here for a moment with Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. The Patriots, Tony, are going through, obviously, their issues at the moment, but it's not as if the Steelers have one that's flying under the radar. And ESPN did a report on this. The chief of security is also with the Allegheny County Sheriff's Office. And the fact that Mike Adams had requested to have his occupation as unlisted, and they abided by what he wanted to. What have you heard about this? Because this is not exactly a story that does not have consequences.
You know, nothing other than what has been reported on ESPN. The Mike Adams stuff, that surfaced a little bit when it happened. There was a lot of stories flying around that it was a very odd, that the situation was handled in a very odd manner, and there was just a lot of stories that there was more to it than we were reading about in the paper. And frankly, when Ben Roethlisberger had his issues in Georgia, a lot of this came to the surface then as well, that there was a couple of off-duty police officers who made that trip with Roethlisberger and their relationship. There were some rumors about, you know, what their relationship was and how it started. So that's really about it. You know, there was just a little bit of rumor that we heard and some innuendos during those two situations, and then obviously, you know, the lid sort of came off of that in some fashion anyway with the ESPN report.
Right, and it's something that they're looking into, and a lot of people, I don't think, are very aware of it right now. It is not, it's not exactly something to be taken lightly. How do you view the Patriots situation? Amusement?
You know, I don't know, Steve. I mean, you know, in my opinion, it had absolutely no effect on the football game whatsoever. And it's just so, it's so interesting to hear from different players and coaches, both current and former, because their reaction seemed to be all over the map. From, you know, John Harbaugh flat out stating that that gave them a competitive advantage, and, you know, some former quarterbacks talking about how, you know, they should be heavily punished, to some people shrugging their shoulders and saying, you know, no big deal. You know, I guess it's probably somewhere in the middle. I think the issue is, and I think in my opinion what has people so upset, first of all, there's that lunatic fringe that's just going to be mad because it's the Patriots and because they win, and it's the same people that get mad at the Yankees and you know, frankly, you know, several years ago the Steelers and all those teams that win, the Lakers and so forth. But, you know, I do think that it's probably the pattern of behavior, the fact that it's following on the heels of Spygate, I think is probably what has a lot of people upset. I can't imagine that it had any effect whatsoever on the football game. You know, it was a 38-point difference.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, but I, at the same time, I don't know that it should be, you know, pushed under the rug either. So I guess I'm just not quite sure how I feel about it yet. I probably need to hear more.
Well, what's interesting is it's the first anybody's heard of it. It's not as if, and this is something you can't answer, but it's not as if, you know, Brady didn't throw any interceptions all year. He threw interceptions in the vast majority of games that he played in this year. It's the first time it's come up. I mean, I've heard,
yeah,
it.
I mean,
I've
know,
never heard
it,
anything about it.
It's just very odd to me, and I'm just confused as to how to react to it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. The Steelers. Senior Bowl going on right now, obviously in Mobile. It's the one you have to be at. Three Nittany Lions will play in the game. Mike Hall had to pull out. When you look at the Steelers and needs, what are some guys that are catching your eye, Tony, that should bear watching for Steeler fans?
You know, that's a great question, and I don't know if I have answers as far as first-round type guys. You know, I think cornerback is really where they need to go. But the issue with, you know, needing to go at corner in the first round is sometimes you can end up reaching. If there's not somebody who fits at your slot, and you reach for a cornerback early, it's the same at any position, but I think it's, you know, corner is one that even stands out even more because there are so few elite players. You could end up hurting yourself. So, you know, I think they need to be looking at cornerback and secondary. Two players who, and only one of these guys is actually at the Senior Bowl, you know, who I think may fit into the Steelers' needs a little bit later in the draft are two guys with some local connections. One is Jesse James. I think that the Steelers need a pass-catching tight end, an athletic tight end, eventually, because Heath Miller is not going to keep doing this forever. And to me, that's a perfect situation. A kid who might be a little bit raw, might, you know, could probably greatly benefit from a year behind a guy like Heath Miller. Also, one of the great names in the NFL, you know, once he gets there, Jesse James. And then T.J. Clemmings. Offensive lineman for Pitt, a tackle who played defensive end as a freshman, only started playing college, only started playing football when he was a junior in high school. Clemmings is probably a guy who will be around, you know, a couple of rounds into the draft, and he's very raw. The very, very athletic, tremendous frame, and is in great shape. But again, another guy who may take a season or two to be coached. And what better coach than Mike Munchak? Who knows how long Munchak will be with the Steelers? But I think this is a guy who could benefit greatly from, you know, learning under Mike Munchak. So those are two guys that kind of jump off the page to me, maybe in the later rounds for the Steelers.
It doesn't really matter if you play in the All-Star game or not. Geno Malkin is going to sit out the All-Star game in Columbus. Is this anything long-term that any Penguin fan should be worried about?
You know, who knows? Malkin participated in the pregame skate, the final game before the break against the Chicago Blackhawks, and then all of a sudden he was a late scratch. So, you know, I don't know if he was dealing with a slight injury before the you know, before the skate, or if he aggravated something in the pregame skate, and you know, and then he sat out. I don't think it's going to be a long-term thing. Just like you said, skipping the All-Star game, you know, might mean you're a little tired. It might mean your ankle hurts a little bit. You know, doesn't
right.
really mean much.
Sure.
And the way this team is playing, frankly, I think the rest might be able to, you know, to do some of these guys some good.
Pitchers and catchers are going to report here pretty within about a month, maybe, what, 3 weeks. Tell us a little bit more about the Kang signing and what it potentially means for this team. Because just to negotiate, they shelled out $5 million in an organization where $5 million is usually in a vault.
Exactly. Yeah, so, you know, Kang, I think, is going to come in, and quite frankly, it was interesting because last week Neil Huntington had a conference call with some members of the media and basically, you know, admitted that they don't exactly know what they're getting because no position player has ever gone from the Korean leagues, you know, to the majors. So, you know, they can scout them as much as they can, but this is, frankly, an unprecedented move. Pitchers have done it, but no position player has. He's a guy who just clubbed the ball last year in the Korean League. Steve, he had 356, 40 homers, 116 RBI. Some folks will say that translates to like a double-A level.
Mm-hmm.
The Pirates have no intention of starting him in the minor leagues. He's going to start in the majors.
Right.
He's a shortstop by trade. Most observers are saying that he doesn't have the range to play shortstop in the major leagues. The Pirates are viewing him, and Neil Huntington flat out said this, as a complementary piece this year with the potential and expectation to be a starter down the road. So I think he is, you know, I think he gives them options this year. He can probably play second, third, and short coming off the bench. And then I think the idea is once he acclimates not only to America but to the major leagues as well, this guy gives them options, whether that option is at second base and Neil Walker ends up leaving the team via free agency, whether Jordy Mercer ends up not being a fit at shortstop, you know, he has some potential there, or whether Josh Harrison's, you know, season last year simply doesn't, you know, happen again. You know, perhaps he falls off the, you know, perhaps he falls off the planet as far as an everyday third baseman goes. So I think it gives them options at all three positions, and it certainly gives them, the expectation is it gives them a good bat off the bench right away.
Just so you know, everyone in Boston is still waiting to see Daisuke Matsugaka throw a gyro ball. I mean, still everybody's still waiting.
Right.
Anything else that you see in this club before they go to camp that is noteworthy that could make them better?
You know, one of the things that this team has done, that Neil Huntington has done, is find reclamation projects. And there are a couple of guys this year. Clayton Richard is one. He was a guy who was mm-hmm. in the Padres rotation, won 14 games 2 years in a row, and then had some major arm problems. They have him signed to a minor league contract. And you know, they really have one spot in the rotation that is open right now. Charlie Morton is not expected to start right away. He's probably going to not be ready until late April or early May, which leaves, you know, either Jeff Locke or Vance Worley fighting for that spot. And, you know, Richard is a lefty who I think could be an interesting possibility if they can catch lightning in a bottle once again. And I think the bench is greatly improved. You know, I think the signing of Kong, like we just talked about, and Corey Hart as well, as a potential fifth outfielder or a first baseman, he's probably going to platoon a little bit with Pedro Alvarez, and he gives them a pretty good stick off the bench. So these are guys that they didn't used to bring in. Their bench guys used to be guys who were, you know, borderline major leaguers. These are guys who are former starters who maybe now can find a role off the bench. So I think that gives them a chance to be a little bit better. Still pales in comparison to what the Cardinals did this offseason.
Yeah, the Cardinals did a wholesale makeover. But at the same time, you know, the Pirates have put together the last 2 years a winning culture. And that does mean something. There's some confidence in that clubhouse, but we'll see without Russell Martin what that, yep, you know, what comes to fruition there. Yeah,
that's the biggest loss, no question about that. And there's going to be some, you know, there's certainly the tangible numbers that he brought, but there's a lot of intangibles. Russell Martin was the only catcher in the past, you know, 20-some years that took this team to the playoffs. So they'll try to do that now without Russell Martin for the first time, like you just said. And the numbers are one thing, but how he handles the pitchers, and I think he was a big part of that winning culture as well.
As always, Tony, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it. It's a lot of fun talking with you every Friday.
Always enjoy it. Thank you, Steve.
That's Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Kevin Herr breaks down the interview in its entirety, including the fact that Jerome Bettis was not a part of it, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. fun week coming up next week. We're going to have on the show next week Wayne Larrabee, the play-by-play voice of the Green Bay Packers, who also does a lot of work with the Chicago Bulls and the Big Ten Network. But again, Wayne is the voice of the Packers. We are also going to have on the show Mike Hall from Big Ten Network next week. We are working on, and we think we will get, Bob Soci, the play-by-play voice of the New England Patriots next week. And Icky Woods makes a return next week.
More cold cuts coming.
I knew you'd love that.
Todd Zalecki, also a writer, the Phillies beat writer for MLB.com, joining us Monday at 3:35 as well.
Betty has a lot to talk about.
It's been the quietest winter in Phillies baseball, I believe.
Yeah. Pro Bowl is coming up on Sunday on ESPN.
Will you give it any time at all?
Oh, yeah, I'll watch a good chunk of it.
I think this idea is stupid. I have not found anybody that thinks that this is a great idea for the Pro Bowl.
What, the pick the teams?
Yes.
Well, it's your ilk that came up with the idea.
You guys are in the
fantasy football thing. This is your
it's
bag.
It's not the same. This is the Pro Bowl. Now, I know it means absolutely nothing, but it's the best guys in the AFC and the best guys in the NFC. Not the best guys jumbled up all together. I mean, name one other professional sports organization that has even thought about doing it this way. I mean, at least with the NHL, they did like the Canadians and the Americans. That was kind of cool. I like that.
Okay.
This is just dumb, and the uniforms are ugly.
You're an awfully bitter guy today. I
mean, just telling it like it is.
Every day on the show, I continue to be the most positive person here.
Oh, yeah. You're just Mr. Bright and Sunshine.
What? I'm the one that talks about goodness and light. You're always like, I can't stand this. I can't stand that. That's wrong. And they're doing this wrong.
But you like this. Do you, yes or no, do you like the way they're doing the Pro Bowl? No, you can't use that. That's a cop-out answer. No. It's a yes or a no. Do you like it or do you not like it?
I'm going to watch it. What does that tell you? It doesn't matter to me.
Oh, listen. It doesn't. It's football. You'll watch anything if it looks like football. You've watched arena football if there's no other football on.
Actually, no, I have not. Actually, I have not. I've never had any interest in that.
I tried it a couple of times. I mean, multiple times, actually. I just can't get into it.
I mean, the USFL, yeah, I watched a lot of the USFL when that was in existence in the 80s. Thought it was terrific. Really liked it. Would love to see someone give it another shot. But, I mean, you've got to be able to have deep, deep pockets to do that now. Very deep pockets.
Well, that was supposed to have come back this past spring. What kind of fell through with that?
Oh, I don't know. Money?
Well, but it was going to be backed by the NFL. The NFL was going to make it as a minor league.
Well, it's not there yet.
You can't tell me that the money tree doesn't have any more money for the NFL.
Let's see what it says here.
I watched the World League of American Football both times.
The ownership group postponed until 2015, the previously announced 2014 kickoff date. Since then, they have indicated through dialogue with fans on their Facebook page that they are working to meet the 2015 goal, but will only kick off once they have completed their capitalization efforts and have sufficient funding to in hand to operate the league for several years from launch until it can generate enough revenues to sustain itself and become profitable. USFL does not intend to become one of the major league sports organizations, but rather is committed to serving as a development league more akin to minor league baseball. It will offer players the opportunity to develop and refine their football skills and blah, 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 and so forth. Yeah. It will consist of 8 teams playing a 14 games regular season schedule, 2 playoff games, and a championship game. All played in the spring and early summer to avoid competition with the NFL and major college football. Each USFL team will have 44 players on active lists.
Didn't they have...
Doesn't say.
Because they were... Maybe I'm getting that confused with the... The United Football League. One of them had a deal.
The UFL did. Teams will be located in cities large enough to support a USFL team, but not presently served by major league sports.
I'll head up the Sunbury team to try for that team. I'll be on that committee.
Good luck.
We'll do it at Chickalamy Stadium. I'll call the games. It's perfect.